Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big and blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
It redefines teacher as whatever the local board wants a teacher to mean, and that can be anybody in the classroom.
All right, that is Lisa Graham Keegan, Arizona Chamber Foundation Chief Executive. So, what did she just say there about Arizona schools and Arizona teachers? She is saying that there is a policy brief and that it will change the definition of what a teacher is.
So if Invest in Ed passes, this would or could change paychecks from teachers and other school staff,
yeah,
if it passes.
Keegan, with the Arizona Chamber Foundation, they're saying this: if this were to happen, it would dilute the amount of money going to teacher base pay.
Right, because the change would allow every school system to define what it means to be a teacher differently. It wouldn't be a statewide, clear-cut definition, and that would mean you could permit a local redefinition of a teacher to include any non-teaching positions, which means they would also share in money,
yeah,
that teachers are already getting.
Here's the thing. For years, we have been saying teachers need to get paid. For years, we have been saying that they must get a raise. And, you know, we've had Governor Doug Ducey on, and we've gone toe-to-toe with him about this for almost 2 years. And when Red for Ed decided to organize, and teachers decided to organize, and they said enough is enough, we're walking out, we're one of the lowest paid states for teachers in the country, we need to do something, the teachers got it done, and Doug Ducey figured out a way to do it. And right now, teachers are getting paid more,
but
probably 10% more.
But remembered, we heard a Tucson, what was it, Tucson Unified, said that they were going to give a raise to everybody that touched a child's life.
Wrong.
And that's
not
from
right.
What Doug Ducey said,
yeah,
was not what was intended with this 20% by 2020 raise.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my incredulous point of, mm-hmm, well, what are they doing then? Why would they want to change? If it would dilute the pool of money, why would you want to change the definition or allow local governing boards to change that? Just make it what it is. A teacher is this. Support staff is this. A janitor is this.
Yeah, I think that they're trying to pay everybody, and you just can't pay everybody.
Or you can't give everybody a raise from,
right,
one pot when it's supposedly to go to teachers.
Here's the important job in schools. Everybody plays a part. I get it. The important job, the most important job, is a teacher. It's not the lunch lady. Now, the lunch lady
has a role.
There's no question about it.
Right.
The janitors have a role. Who do you think cleans up after the kids?
The bus drivers get them to and from.
They all play a role. But you know what? They all are going to be paid a different salary. Because I think a teacher, it's like this. It's like, are you going to pay the running back less than the offensive lineman? I mean, probably not. You're going to pay the star running back.
There's a reason why the quarterback,
yeah, quarterback
makes more than the punter,
exactly,
the offensive lineman.
Right.
There's
the punter, very important part of the team. Quarterback, more important.
The most important.
So I don't know exactly how this is going to work out, but let me just say this. This is why teachers are always skeptical they're not going to get paid.
Hey, we thought that this was going to be a no-brainer, but they actually got enough signatures to get on the ballot. But if you look within the language of this initiative, holy crap, they could actually dilute the amount of pay.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. Now, this is coming from one side, okay? This is one side of the argument.
Right. This is the Arizona Chamber Foundation.
Right, right, right. Are they 100% right here? Probably not. Here's the thing, though. This is why teachers are always skeptical. Oh, is Ducey really gonna pay me? I hear it's 10%. I'm just gonna wait for my paycheck. Okay, you got your paycheck. Now it's up. Now you might have somebody trying to make it less. This is why teachers don't trust anybody to pay them. And, you know, I think that this year, morale is up in schools. I am hearing a lot that teachers, yes, they're getting paid more, but their class sizes might be bigger. And is that really worth it? And how much is, you know, the retirement, how much more retirement is being taken out? well, maybe a little bit more than expected. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but we got to stop trying to cut teachers' base pay with ideas and you know, pay other staff. Let's pay the teachers. That's what's important.
That, and that was what 20% by 2020 was all about, right?
Right.
Paying teachers.
Teachers.
Not teachers and staff.
Right. Not a janitor. No
right.
offense to janitors, but you're not going to get paid what a teacher makes.
Right.
And they shouldn't get a raise. A teacher should get the raise. And if you have a minimum wage job, you're getting a raise anyway.
So be careful if you want to vote for the initiative.
Be
careful
look into
to
it.
Know
look
what
into it.
Is in it.
Yeah. And we're still all finding out what's in it. But I am not for diluting a cent that will go to teacher base pay at all. At all. All right. You are listening to the Big Four at Four. We bring you four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Two.
The front windows are all smashed out. In the one bedroom, the ceiling has completely collapsed. You can see the studs and the struts of the roof. The other front bedroom, half of the ceiling has caved in. There's insulation throughout the whole house. The master bedroom, the whole roof has caved in.
That's Andrew. We talked to him yesterday from Chandler. His house is destroyed because of a microburst. Why so many storms this August? Is this the strongest monsoon ever?
One meteorologist for the National Weather Service says it's hard to say. It's hard to classify this monsoon as being the strongest season ever from a scientific standpoint because, yes, there have been lots of damage. There's been lots of trees down. But that could be the result of people have built more. The density is there. The amount of trees has increased. The amount of houses has increased. And we have had, I guess for the past number of years, we've hadn't had the rainfall. We haven't had the actual monsoon storm. So maybe people got lulled into a false sense of security. Maybe you just don't remember that 5-6 years ago, maybe it was as bad as this.
12 of the past 20 monsoon seasons have featured below average rainfall
right.
in Phoenix.
Right.
I mean.
And remember, you can't use one gauge to Sky Harbor's got 1.5 inches. John
rain,
Hook
yeah.
said at his house he's gotten 4 inches out of one storm.
Right.
So you can't use like one place in the valley. We're just too big.
What is it called? The eye test? Right?
What does it look like?
Yeah. This is the worst monsoon season I've seen in a long time.
I don't remember the wind being clocked in the 70s and 80s.
I remember damage. There's always been damage in monsoon seasons
right.
and all that. But, you know, the amount of monsoons, the consecutive number of days we've had monsoons. There's sometimes in monsoon season we go weeks without a storm.
Right.
Man, 5 out of 7 days we've had a storm.
And
five
we could get one
seven.
Tonight.
Yeah.
We're supposedly there's a dust advisory 5 to 10 o'clock tonight. Well, that's how it kind of starts.
Hunker down, man.
Yep.
You getting up on the roof tonight?
I will check the radar, and if I need to,
I'm
gonna
get hit by lightning.
No,
gonna go up by the pool, start cleaning it so it doesn't turn green.
If there's a dust storm,
gonna get hit by lightning again.
No. Again, I've never been hit.
You're gonna?
No.
All right. So, is this monsoon season the norm? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
This is a much worse monsoon season. One of the worst we've seen.
I think so.
I think in a while. All right. You're listening to the Big Four at Four. Four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour. Still to come, Big Story 3 and 4.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story 3.
We polled women across the country with a focus on those issues between the ages of 18 and 35. We found that 7 in 10 are dissatisfied or angry about the Trump presidency and the direction the country is headed in. But only 30% of them say they will definitely vote in November.
All right. So women between 18 and 35, 70% don't like the president, don't like where the country is going.
That makes sense. I mean, no surprise there.
Well, I mean, it's tough with Trump. There's some things that he does well, and there's some things that he's terrible at. I mean, you got to look at it. Where are we headed in the right direction? Well, I got to
tell you. Wait. This is about women, though.
I understand.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can't lay a blanket down of what has he done right or wrong? I mean, this is from a woman's perspective here.
Well, I don't have a woman's perspective.
Right,
so.
Right. And that's why I don't find it surprising. What has he done for women? How does he talk about women? not very well. I'm surprised it's not 18 to 105 in this survey.
Well,
I'm surprised it's young women.
You don't think there are some women out there that likes what he's done with the economy? You don't think there's some women out there that say, yeah, ISIS really doesn't bother me anymore. I don't hear anything about him.
I don't know,
you know, stuff
how,
like that.
I don't know how I don't know how you trade off one for the other if you are a woman. Because it is such a different perspective. And yeah, the economy may be doing well,
mm-hmm.
but I can't imagine a woman dismissing what he said during that All Access interview or that Hollywood Access interview or whatever. I just can't see women separating.
But people still voted for him. Women
overwhelmingly
still voted for him.
Overwhelmingly men did.
Women still voted for
Donald
Trump.
Not in a big number, though. But not in a big. See, in this 18 to 35 thing.
Yep.
That's a little misleading, too. If you're in college, do you like old white guys that are running the country? No, that's your dad. You're not going to like that guy. I mean, we've seen this in every generation. The young generation was supposed to, you know, usher Bill Clinton in, and they did. He's an old white guy. They're not going to vote for him. Obama, the young people responded to Obama. They're not going to respond to Trump, and women especially. I get it.
Okay, so this is just a quick Google search. Trump celebrates winning 52% of women in 2016.
I don't believe it.
Okay, it's Washington,
I don't
it's Washington
believe it.
Post.
That's fine, but I don't believe there's an overwhelming majority of women.
I didn't say that.
Who say they are going to vote for
You're
Donald
right.
Trump and
there
like
isn't.
Donald Trump.
There is not an overwhelming majority of women. 52%. That's the stat. It's not 70 and it's not 80. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what I'm reading. It is off the cuff.
And this is younger. And this is younger, too, 18 to 35. But again, he has demonstrated in the past 2 years, he's not going to change. And
nope.
It only gets worse.
I'm just reading here. Lost the popular vote. We know that. Received more support from men than from women. But the figure is 52%. It's not bad. That's really, it's not. Hey, listen, I don't like the way he speaks about women either. I mean, there's no question about it. You know,
but when you say you think the policies hurt women,
what policy?
I mean,
what do you mean?
More than half the women aged 18 to 35 think that the president's policies have mostly hurt women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a strong word to use. Not that he's not in favor or doesn't like, but to hurt women. I don't know. I just don't know how he gets reelected if he keeps going down the road he's gone down. Separating kids,
right.
What he has said with this latest scandal now, not staying off Twitter. I just don't know how women will vote for him.
The older women are, the better he does.
Yeah. The more in line with his age.
Right.
Yeah.
65 plus does a lot better than 18-35.
Right.
My point
he's
is,
the
though,
creepy old man.
But still, women did vote for Donald Trump in 2016. Will they do that in 2020? I don't know.
I don't know how they could. I really don't.
It depends on who the Democrats put up there.
With the way he keeps talking, and this is just women now.
Yeah.
And if I can't remember his name, Supreme Court Justice, they're talking about if they get rid of Roe v. Wade.
Which probably won't happen.
Right. But again, that talk is out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he gets reelected. At least from women voting.
He could certainly get reelected if the economy is good and people vote with their wallets. I mean, it could be as simple as that.
Kavanaugh. The nominee's Kavanaugh.
Yeah. You're listening to the Big Four at 4, four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 4.
I know there are many people who don't have the opportunity to transition. I know people who have been outed and did not want to be outed. But I'm a proud and out transgender leader.
That is Christine Hallquist. Is America ready for its first transgender governor? Christine Hallquist is bidding to become the first
in Vermont,
and
right.
I think there is a primary tonight, Tuesday. It's the state's Democratic primary. If she wins Tuesday night, she will become the first transgender gubernatorial nominee for a major political party. Is America ready for that?
I think Vermont may be.
Yep.
I don't know if America is ready. Does that make sense? Vermont is a very different state. It's a very,
think,
very different
you
attitude.
Think Bernie Sanders and everybody
who is from Vermont.
Free stuff for everybody. Maybe a little bit more.
It could happen
open-minded.
In Vermont, right? But would it happen in Arizona in the next 5 years? I mean, if you think about it, and this is no secret, Kyrsten Sinema is bisexual, and she has come out and said that she is. She, you know, it's no secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
She could take over Jeff Flake's seat. That is a huge disparity.
I would say in this day and age, being gay or being bisexual versus being transgender is different in terms of acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. But yeah. But again, think of, we're talking about transgendered candidates,
mm-hmm.
openly gay or bisexual. We were talking about this 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's mm-hmm. just amazing. This person has a shot in Vermont.
If she wins tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know much about her other than this. I really don't. I don't know any of her policies. I have no idea. I've never heard of her until today. But, you know, she's transitioned from a man to a woman. I don't know how far along she is, but we'll see if she wins tonight. If she wins, she'll make history.
Right.
She'll be on the ballot in November as a Democratic gubernatorial nominee.
She is one of more than 400 LGBTQ candidates running
yeah.
in this midterm election.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Good for her. Good for her. You know, I think it comes down to, are you a good politician, you know? I don't know anything about you. How are your policies? Are you going to tax the crap out of everybody? Because then I don't like you. I don't want to vote
right.
for you, right?
Right.
I mean, it could come just to that.
And good that it comes down to that.
Yeah, there's nothing to do if she's transgender. I don't care.
Right. Good that it comes down yeah. to what are you going to do with taxes? What right. are you going to do with policy? Rather than, that man's Catholic. He can't be president.
JFK.
JFK.
You've been listening to the Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big Four at Four delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.
Still to come, 5:15, Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone's monthly exclusive interview. Up next, when you go to Sky Harbor, be careful. Don't fidget, sweat, or stare. We'll explain why next.
Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, 5:15, Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone is going to join us in studio. It's his monthly exclusive interview. How is his department planning for school safety? Are they doing anything different? We're going to talk about school safety, how to keep schools safe, Penzone 5:15. Mac, when you go to the airport, are you a sweater? Do you perspire?
Yes, yes I live in Arizona.
You sweating like a pig?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I usually have to carry all the bags.
Right.
I have to wrangle all the kids.
Right.
And then I have to get inside where it's nice and cool, but it's still hot.
You sweat?
Yeah.
Do you fidget?
Yes. I don't want to I don't want to fly.
You're a fidgeter.
I know I have to stand in the TSA line.
Yeah.
So I fidget. Of course I do.
Yeah. You stare at anybody like a cold, penetrating stare?
I am so tired, man. I can't. I just zone out.
You zone out?
I just stare. Yeah.
So you could look at someone for a long period of time and not realize you're doing it?
Or something else, yeah.
You might get tased.
Maybe.
You might get tased in the airport.
Well, that
you
was
may get,
sweet release.
You may be. you get taken down, man, because. The TSA, we talked about this.
A couple weeks ago.
They've got a program called Quiet Skies. And basically, they're screening people who are innocent, have no reason to believe are going to do anything wrong.
They're not on the no-fly list.
No, it's not like they're on the no-fly or they have a bad background check.
Right.
But if you're fidgeting, sweating, and staring, you could be taken aside for a stop and chat. Or followed by an air marshal onto the plane.
I don't know how you justify this. It makes no sense to me. The TSA now has to justify this. We still don't understand. Why are you watching? What are you doing? Are you using this information for something else?
Mm-hmm.
They just said it's a good idea. Well, excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't trust a government who says, no, we got this. It's a good idea. When you failed 90% of the times to get stuff that people are, I'm sorry, you were tested by your own agency and you failed 90% of the time in weapons and other stuff that got through TSA checkpoints.
TSA Administrator David Pekoski says this program, in my view, makes an awful lot of sense.
Okay, explain it then, Mr. Pekoski. How does it make sense?
He didn't say.
Exactly. Exactly.
So are they looking for terrorists?
I don't know.
See, I don't think so.
I mean, these are domestic flights. I don't know who they are looking for.
I think they're looking for the pill that's going to get on a plane.
Could that be it? Somebody who's going to pop off?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody who's going to pop off. Somebody that's going to be unruly. Someone, you know.
I would understand if they're looking for people who drink a lot mm-hmm. and then get on the plane, because we've heard that, you know, they start in the bar, they have too much, you get
never
up
good.
There and, you know, high altitude, and they cause problems.
Or they fall asleep and snore.
That too.
That's bad.
I understand that.
They should be thrown out of the plane midair.
Mm-hmm. Open that window.
Open it up. Fire the guy out. Just get him out. Snoring. I'm trying to get my beauty rest, man.
And then if you have some... If you have somebody, good luck on a plane. If you have somebody following you, can you confront them? What if you notice the air marshal?
Yeah.
Like, dude.
Yeah.
You followed me since Hartford. I'm in the bathroom. What are you doing?
I'm at the urinal.
Right.
Stop looking at me.
Right.
I don't like this program.
I don't either. I don't get it.
It's called the Quiet Skies Program. They've been doing it for a while. Now it's just kind of out.
2011.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, since tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to be at Phoenix Children's Hospital for the awesome Giveathon. Plow through the 1 million, right? Wednesdays, we usually have Governor Jan Brewer, former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, Mac and Gatos political insider on Wednesday. Obviously, we'll be at PCH.
Right.
We spoke to her a little earlier today. She was nice enough to come on a day early. We're going to talk to her next and try and figure out, are Republican voters angry at Governor Ducey next?
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, she joins us on a weekly basis, usually Wednesday. We're going to be at PCH tomorrow. So she joined us today. Very interesting theory about why Doug Ducey's poll numbers are down. Is it because Arizona Republican voters are angry with Ducey because they think he rolled over for Ed, for, you know, for the Red for Ed campaign, and, you know, he kind of gave the teachers a raise, and are Republicans angry? Here's what Governor Brewer had to say.
I don't know. Polls are down because he needs to get his message out there. He needs to be talking to those people, and maybe he'll kick it up. But he needs some messaging. He needs some really serious messaging.
All right. Let me ask you this then. Why haven't we seen anything from the current governor? Why would he wait to, you know, his message wait till after the primary? Why wouldn't he put ads out right now?
Well, the only thing I can think of is that he has a strategy, and the people that are working with him and his campaign effort, they've got a strategy, so let's hope it's a winning one.
Who are these Republicans who are now upset with Ducey that he got rolled by Red for Red? I mean, are they going to vote for a Democrat? I don't think so.
I don't think they would either. One never knows what's going on in the political arena, but the bottom line is that he ought to take credit for what he did. You know, I think there was a lot of hurt feelings when they were down there at the Capitol, and that he never actually went down or invited them up to talk to them. And maybe that's the group of people that are disappointed in that he didn't relate. He didn't connect. Maybe that's it. Maybe he just didn't connect with them.
And that's
what
part
do you think?
Well, and that's part of what you said, connecting with real people and then the messaging to many people. And, you know, he'll have the opportunity to do that coming up.
Former Governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer, Mac and Gatos political insider, joins us a day early since we'll be at PCH tomorrow. Governor, how seriously should the GOP take Democrats and independents since they've increased their political activity since the election of Donald Trump?
Well, I think we should take it very seriously. They have been raising money, and they're out there in not only Arizona but other states and these independent expenditures, and you've got a candidate that has running for Senate here in Arizona, which has got the eyes of the world on. And Kyrsten Sinema has had, a year to reinvent herself and not having anybody attack her, where the Republican candidate, you know, has got a primary.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to really go after Kyrsten Sinema, because I mean, her warm and fuzzy ads that she's got on TV are just above the pale. You know, I know Kyrsten Sinema, and that's not the Kyrsten Sinema that I know. And I don't think that's
so she's not warm and fuzzy
Sinema in the heart. No, she's not.
Okay.
She's a progressive liberal, and she is basically, you know, she just doesn't want her liberal credentials to be exposed.
I think you make a good argument because, you know, in Kyrsten Sinema's run for Senate, you're right. Nobody has challenged her. And the other thing is she's almost not telling anybody she's a Democrat.
The word Democrat does not appear in one ad.
It's all gone. There's
right.
no D in
right.
any ad. Isn't that smart? I mean, if you're in Arizona and we're a red state and you're Kyrsten Sinema and you don't want to be seen as a very left liberal, you want to be seen as a moderate. And she doesn't push the D out there. Isn't that smart?
I would think she'd be proud of her party and what it stood for. And, you know, I see it as being very deceitful because almost everybody across the country puts their political persuasion on their material and their signs. Mm. And she hasn't done that. And there's a reason for it because she, you know, she knows what a record she has in the past. And I hope that during the general election that will all come out. But I agree with you guys. I think that, you know, she should be out there and we should be out there telling her story. Be truth tellers. Tell her what she stands for. She's been setting herself up for this race for a long time. Mm. And she's done a fairly good job on it. But people will find out who the real Kyrsten Sinema is. She's not a problem solver. She's in it because Kyrsten Sinema has a goal, and her goal is to be the Arizona State Senator from Arizona.
Former Governor Jan Brewer joins us, Mac and Gatos Political Insider. We've been talking about how the Democrats are trying to ramp up their political push in Arizona. They're showing up at community centers and library auditoriums and churches this summer and all that, district meetings and all that kind of stuff. We've chatted about Kyrsten Sinema. How about Martha McSally? This is your choice on the Republican side. You've endorsed her. Governor, I kind of see it as some in the GOP think Congresswoman McSally is vulnerable in the upcoming primary election, and that's why they want President Trump to endorse her. What do you make of that whole thing?
Well, I think it would be awesome if President Trump would come out and endorse Representative McSally. We know that her opposition in the primary, Kelly Ward, wants to link herself to his ankle and claim that she's the star, but she's not. I mean, her pictures of her with President Trump, especially the one at Mar-a-Lago, they took that photo. The staff told her that she could not use it, and she moved ahead using that photo. She is not a team player. She's absolutely not a team player, and she alienates people. But with Martha McSally, you've got people, good conservative people, that know her and know her record. Senator Kyle has endorsed her, you know. Conservative Newt Gingrich has endorsed her. I have endorsed her. You know, where is Kelly Ward's endorsements from people that actually know her? These endorsements that she shows up that I have seen, they're all out of state. They don't know her. They've met her once or twice.
All right, former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, Mac and Gatos Political Insider, usually Wednesdays, but we'll be at Phoenix Children's Hospital tomorrow for the Giveathon. So, coming up, 5:15, make sure you're here. Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone headed to our studio, his monthly exclusive interview. School is back in session. How is he keeping schools safe? That's coming up.
Also, the 5 o'clock KTAR News expansion. What could Invest in Ed's impact be on teacher pay? You'd be surprised next.